Father, we ask that you would be with us today from the many places that we are listening. We seek to listen to your voice and to hear you speak in the midst of our chaos. Bless our time together today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite things to do, since we're kind of quarantined or isolated from each other and have a lot of time to spend alone, is listening to YouTube videos, which I enjoy doing anyway. And one of them, I was being instructed on what to do with our time. And one of the suggestions was to read Augustine's Confessions. And I started reading the first book of Confessions and thought I would share the prayer that Augustine prayed in the beginning of this great Christian classic. He prayed. This is a prayer. Great art thou, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great is thy power, and thy wisdom infinite. And thee would men praise, man but a particle of thy creation. Man, that bears about him his mortality, the witness of his sin, the witness that thou resistest the proud, yet would man praise thee, he but a particle of thy creation. Thou awakest us to delight in thy praise, for thou madest us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it repose in thee. Grant me, Lord, to know and understand which is first, to call on thee or to praise thee, and again to know thee or to call on thee. For who can call on thee not knowing thee? For he that knoweth thee not may call on thee as other than thou art. Or is it rather that we call on thee that we may know thee? But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe without a preacher? And they that seek the Lord shall praise him. For they that seek shall find him. And they that find him shall praise him. I will seek thee, Lord, by calling on thee, and will call on thee believing in thee. For to us hast thou been preached. My faith, Lord, shall call on thee, which thou hast given me, wherewith thou hast inspired me, through the incarnation of thy Son, through the ministry of the preacher. Let's join our hearts in prayer and come to his throne of grace. Our Father and God, in this difficult time, we come to you in prayer, asking, Father, that you would work in our hearts and in our lives, that we may indeed draw closer to you. As this epidemic separates us from others, we know that it can never separate us from our Lord and our Savior. Father, we pray for those of us who are involved in first response. We pray, Lord, for those who are ambulance, for Amy and for Tom. Father, we ask for those who are firemen. We ask, Lord, that you would protect those who serve you in the medical field. We pray, Lord, for those who are in construction and ask, Father, your grace and mercy on all those involved in essential jobs who have to go to work day in and day out, for doctors, for nurses, for all medical staff. We pray your blessing and your grace for them. Father, we ask for those who have lost loved ones. We ask, Lord, for the family of Bill, for Phyllis and Sherry, Clary and Christy, and their children, grandchildren, Lord, who are going through this time of mourning. We pray that you would lift them up. We pray through your Holy Spirit that you would comfort their hearts. We thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all comfort, that you know what we go through in losing our loved ones because you lost your Son. And we pray, Lord, that we might have the same assurance. You knew in 3 days Jesus would rise from the grave, and we know that our loved ones, when absent from the body, are present with the Lord. So bless these with that knowledge and all those in the future who will lose loved ones during this time and before and after. We thank you, Father, most of all, for our salvation. Father, we bring to you other requests this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would be with Dana as he recovers from his knee surgery, and Judy as she is experiencing pain. Father, we ask for Steve's eye. We pray, Lord, for Charlie as he's dealing with a lot of pain right now. We ask, Father, for a friend of one of our church folks, Lord, for Patrick out on Long Island, who is in quarantine and is experiencing some of the symptoms of the coronavirus. We ask, Lord, that you would comfort him, that you would heal him, Father, that he might have a mild case. Father, we pray for John as he is experiencing lung difficulties, and ask, Father, that you would keep him from this sickness. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us into the family of faith. Lord, we don't fear meeting you because you have, through your Son, paid the penalty for our sin. So bless us today with that confidence, with a real and lasting faith, a faith, Lord, that conquers fear. And we pray, Lord, that your blessing would be surrounding those who listen to my voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Mona asked me for a title for this message, this time we have together. And I told her bowls of prayer and bowls of wrath, just because of a couple verses that we'll be looking at later on. But I was thinking, too, of sharing during these days and in future Sunday mornings verses that you share with me through the internet. And I'll check my text messages and my Facebook messages and Facebook page, Gmail, whatever, however you contact me. I'd like you to share some verses that I could share in the service that we have here on Sunday mornings. Mary Ann shared one, Isaiah 26, verse 20. A good verse for today. Go home, my people, and lock your doors. Hide yourselves for a little while until the Lord's anger has passed. A very good verse for these days to be as isolated as possible. Of course, depending on what kind of work you do and what kind of volunteer work you do, to be home and be by yourself or with your loved ones, and just to be careful during these days. In my devotions, I switch from the Old Testament to the New Testament. A lot of times, the Old Testament has a lot to say about quarantine and Israel and leprosy and putting people with infections outside the camp. And I thought, well, what does the New Testament have to say about these things? And I was this week in the Gospel of Luke, which is a rather long gospel, one of the four gospels of the accounts of Jesus' life in the New Testament. So in chapter 9, it says, And he, Jesus, called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And so we're given that mandate to bring God's grace and God's healing to people. Jesus came to save the world, save us through his death on the cross. But while he was here, he would embrace the lepers, a questionable practice for that day. It was a day of social distancing from people who had things like leprosy. But Jesus actually embraced those people. So he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Verse 11 of chapter 9 said, "When the crowds learned it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and cured those who had need of healing." And there are many these days who have that need for healing. Chapter 10, his disciples came to him and were sent out, and they proclaimed the gospel, the kingdom, as Jesus had told them to. But then they came back and they said, "Even the demons are being cast out in your name." And they were quite enthused about the fact that they could heal sickness and cure diseases. And many, many times when I have been in hospital ministry and gone to the bedside of those in the hospital, I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful just to be able to speak the word and see people miraculously healed? And of course, we have that desire for our friends and loved ones who are sick and who are recovering from surgeries, and certainly those who have the coronavirus, to just be able to speak that word in Jesus' name and to see them healed. But Jesus' response to their enthusiasm was, "But don't rejoice," this is verse 20 of chapter 10 in the Gospel of Luke, "but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." So important to share not that Jesus will heal and many times does heal. In fact, all diseases could be fatal diseases if we lived in a less gracious world. But we catch colds, we get the flu, and many of us may get this virus. Many of us will get a light case and be healed of it. And many might just take that for granted. But God is our healer, and we should thank him every time a disease that we have is not fatal. But the most important thing is that our names are written in the book of life. So during this time of solitude, spend time in the Word of God. Read it, first of all. That's very important, because if we don't open the Bible or go to it on our iPads or phones or however you read your Bible, we won't know it. So first of all, we do have to read it. Secondly, we should think about it. Not just read it, but focus in on one verse or one passage, one paragraph maybe, and just say, "What does that mean, Lord? What are you trying to teach me?" Because it's not what I interpret in the Word of God. It's what the Holy Spirit teaches me. So read it and then think about it and then pray about it. Make it a matter of prayer. Ask the Lord how he wants you to practice it is the last part of this. How do I do it? How do I do what the Bible says? And then go ahead and be obedient. The two verses that I wanted to share specifically this morning were from the book of Revelation. The first one is Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. "When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." In my mind, you could almost see these bowls in heaven, huge bowls, filled with the prayers of God's people. They're in the presence of God, and God is listening to the prayers that we pray. If you don't know how to pray, pray the prayer. Go to the internet and Google the Confessions of St. Augustine. Read his prayers. Read the prayers of others. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Memorize perhaps the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The reference to harps, I think, is a reference to praise. So praise and prayer together. Fill that bowl. When the bowls come to a tipping point, the blessings of God flow over his people. If you desire, and I've thought a lot about this in the past couple of weeks, a lot of times when crisis situations happen like this, there's a pandemic or the nation goes to war. 9/11 was a good example when people would pray. But the difficult thing, like George Bush at the time said, it's important for us now to get back to normal. Why do we want to get back to normal? If we increase our prayer, if we increase our dedication to the Lord, if we see the things of this world, as the song says, they grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And we come to him and we get a glimpse of his glory. We get a glimpse of his grace. And his blessings pour out on us in so many different ways. Why would we want to go back to the way it was before? So there are bowls in the presence of God that, filled with the prayers of his saints, come to the tipping point and pour out on his people. He said in the Old Testament, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. But there are other bowls also in the same book of the Bible. This is again in the New Testament. It says in chapter 16, verse 1, then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. And I think of those bowls also in the presence of the Lord, ready to be poured out judgment upon the people as they are filled up with the sins of the nations. Seven bowls in all. Terrible judgments coming upon the earth. It was interesting when I used to think of the book of Revelation, I thought of 1/3, it says, of the earth's population being destroyed. And I used to wonder, how could that happen? 1/3. And I thought of wars. And I thought back of the time of Israel when they only had swords and spears and bows and arrows. Their movements were limited to maybe horses or camels. How could that possibly happen, that 1/3 of the earth's population could be destroyed? But here we have a pandemic. I don't know the percentage of the world's population. It probably will be a very small percentage compared to what the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 16. But it could happen. And we think of this, we think of biological warfare, we think of nuclear warfare. And I've often said, now that we have the capability of taking 1/3 of the population, we're in denial, whereas in biblical times, they prophesied 1/3 of the world's population would be destroyed and they didn't have the means to do it. Now we have the means but deny the possibility. This should bring us to our knees in prayer again. I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. Now, if my interpretation of these bowls being filled with the sins of the nations is correct, you can just imagine some of the sins that are acceptable today that weren't acceptable perhaps only 40 or 50 years ago. Sins that we used to think of as abominations are now completely accepted. I would say abortion and the acceptance of abortion around the world would be one thing that could add to the wrath of God. You know, in the mother's womb, the Bible says the baby is knit together by God. He is that involved in the life of that child that's in the womb. Moloch in the Old Testament was a god that was made of metal and a fire burned underneath, and they would take newborn babies to Moloch and put them through a hole in the abdomen of the idol and they would fall down into the fire. God said, don't offer your children to this god Moloch. We all need to do our part to allow God to convict us of sin, of righteousness and judgment, to be open to his presence in our lives, telling us what. Again, we need to be in the Word. We need to read the Bible to find out what God's standards are and then to live by the standards that he's given to us in his word. I'm not sure if we can, by turning from our sin, if we can take away from the bowls of judgment. But if all of us did that, if every one of us made a commitment, whatever that sin is, and we're so ready to point our finger at other people's sin without realizing our own. But whatever it is, the Bible said there's a sin that easily besets us. There's our little pet sins, and we're shocked by other people's sins, but we're so ready to, you know, to condone our own. But what we need to do is say, Lord, just convict me of my sin. If there's something in my life that I'm aware of or unaware of, I pray that you would give me the power through your Holy Spirit to conquer that sin in my life. And there's sure there'll be times when you fall and fail. But the Lord is always ready to pick you up and help you to go on. 2 Timothy verse 1, verse 7. I just want to share a few other verses with you. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. We need that spirit, the Holy Spirit, and that power, the Spirit's power in our life. He goes on, verse 5, to say, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. We need the power of God. How much faith did Lazarus have to be healed? It's a good question, isn't it? He was dead. He didn't have any faith, but Jesus healed him. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7 say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen to these words from Matthew chapter 14. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. God knows where we are today. He knew exactly where the disciples were as they traveled by boat across the Sea of Galilee. He could see them from the mountaintop battling the storm that they were in. In fact, he was the one that sent them across the Sea of Galilee. He was the one who sent them into the midst of the storm. So you might think today that you're in a storm. You might think everything is against you. You may even feel that you are under the judgment of God. But no matter what your fear is, Jesus Christ is here today. Jesus Christ is here for me. He's here for you. He's here for everyone. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." You might say, "Well, Pastor Mark, I don't know how to pray like St. Augustine prayed. I don't know how to pray like you pray. I don't know how to pray like my grandmother prayed." Well, I want you to know that you can pray like Peter prayed. It was a simple prayer. One pastor I heard a long time ago said if Peter prayed like many of us pray, he'd be under the water by the time he finished. "Oh, Lord, we come to you on this beautiful moonlit night," blub, 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 down into the water he'd go. But he prayed three words, "Lord, help me." And he reached out his hand to Jesus, and Jesus reached down his hand and took a hold of him and pulled him up out of the water. They got into the boat together, and that's the boat that we want to be, and that's the boat where Jesus is. So Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, "Rejoice always, even in the midst of this storm, even when we're isolated from other people, even when we feel all alone, even when we're bored out of our heads." He said, "Pray without ceasing." And then he said, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The Bible says, "Faithful is he who calls you. He also will bring it to pass. And this too shall pass." It didn't come to stay. He didn't bring it to stay. He brought it to pass. And we need to realize that this coronavirus is going to pass. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you that we have this time together. We thank you, Lord, that we have this technology, that we are alone, but we don't have to be alone. We realize, Lord, that we have the internet, that we have email, that we have Facebook, that we have all of these things that miraculously put us into the presence of each other. But we thank you so much that we have praise and prayer that bring us into your very presence. And I pray, Lord, for everyone who is listening this morning to this message, to the message of other pastors, I pray, Lord, that we would rededicate ourselves to you. That if we need salvation, that we would pray Peter's prayer, "Lord, help me." And that you would intervene for whatever we're feeling, whatever we're experiencing. Father, that you would lift us from our sin, that you would lift us from our doubt, that you would lift us from our depression and despair into your very presence, Father, that we might experience what it must be like to live in your presence. Bless us now with the presence of Jesus in our lives, we pray. In his very name, the name of Jesus. Amen.